Go with me to Leviticus, chapter number 6. Most people, this is one of those flyover chapters or books. They just kind of fly over it and said, that ain't for me. Ain't much in there for the church and much in there as a Christian. I heard a great preacher, I think his name Chad Eastep, this week on Twitter. Chad's on Twitter. He gets on a lot of fights in Twitter. I kind of stay away from fights. But he said something on Twitter. I liked it. In Exodus, we got Egypt or got Israel out of Egypt. But in Leviticus, the purpose is to get Egypt out of Israel. Did I say it right? I quote you right. I tell you what, that was good. I shouted over that. Amen. I got something on my heart. I'm going to preach real hard in a minute, okay? You say, you tired? No, that's a figment of my imagination. I'm ready to preach. We need preaching. Go to Leviticus 6 and verse 8 through 13. I just have one thought, and I'm going to pound it for about 20 minutes or so. And I'm going to pound it and pound it and pound it. It's for young people, it's for older people, and it's for real old people. Amen. I'm going to pound it tonight. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. May I say this to you? A lot of Leviticus is quoted over into Hebrews. See, Leviticus in its shadows was fulfilled in the book of Hebrews in picture. It's a wonderful book. And this one thought tonight ought to thrill your soul. Let's look at verse number 8. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his son, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on the linen garment and his linen breeches shall he put on his flesh and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar. And he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on another garment, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings, listen to this, and the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Amen. Somebody help me. Is that good or not? I want to preach this tonight. Keep the fire burning. Now, I'm going to let it go here in a minute. Y'all just stay with me. We need to keep the fire burning. I want all y'all to know this. Sometimes I think we take this church for granted. We got to preaching, got great singing, and God shows up. But I want you to know God wants you to get involved in it. Somebody say amen. See, the fire in this text was holy fire. The fire in this text was sacred fire. Somebody help me. And see, they had to order the wood on it And somebody had to take care of it. And they came to offer a sin offering on it. And listen to me, as long as that fire burned, that sinner knew that he could come with an offering. And they'd take that offering and put it on that, or he'd take his sin and put it on that animal. And by the way, it was for 1 year. Somebody help me. And then they repeated that over and over again. That fire was burning every day. And that meant those sinners could be aware that they could come with a burnt offering anytime, anywhere, because the fire was still burning. Y'all stay with me. I think some preachers starting to hit this old man. Are y'all with me? I want you to know something. We in the church, by the way, just a foreshadow of what God wanted to do in the church. We have a better fire. We got a brighter fire. We got a bigger fire. We're glory. Revelation chapter number 1, the Bible said that Jesus was walking in the midst of the candlesticks. And you said, what's that mean? That mean, by the way, if you got a candlestick, that means something burning. And by the way, those candlesticks were the church, or the seven churches of Asia that were a candlestick. By the way, this church is a candlestick. We need to have the fire burning. Said about John the Baptist, he was a burning and a shining light. By the way, this has some dispensational context to it, but as the virgins, we've got to keep trimming the wick and keep the fire burning and not let the fire go out. I tell you what a lot of preachers want. They want somebody to shout for them, but they never shout for anybody. We in this together. We need to stoke each other's fire together. We need to get in this thing, all in. Or you're only in it when you're Pete. You're only in it when you're a special guest. Ladies and gentlemen, whether we're preaching or not preaching, whether we're the main focus or not, we ought to keep the fire burning. I see a lot of young preachers, and I'm just going to preach it. I watch them. You know, they get somebody old like me up here. They kind of, you know, they just kind of stand back, you know, just watch a little bit. Get a couple of their friends up here, and they'll beat it together and get right by. Listen to me, friend. You ought to get right in the old man's preaching, young man's preaching, any guy's preaching, and get right in there and say, I'm active for the fire of God. Because some of them old men's the reason you got any fire at all. Am I preaching? I watch them. So I see young people, young preachers, they die. Because a lot of their fire is emotional fire. Come on now. This church is letting the fire go out all over. And the job of the priest, listen to this, y'all get this. The job of the priest was to not let the fire go out. Now you say, well, that's for the preacher. Absolutely not. How many of y'all know that you're a priest? Amen. You're a chosen priesthood. Amen. You're a royal priesthood. Amen. Hey, by the way, you can go directly to the throne of God yourself. Amen. I tell you what, we need to have some people with personal fire, have some fire in their private life. Somebody help me preach. I want you to know something. I had somebody the other day say, Preacher Smith, you're going to burn out. Well, I'd rather burn out than rust out. Amen. I see a bunch of them rusted out. Old antiques. We need the fire. Amen. I'm going somewhere. Well, glory. I just want y'all to come with me. Number one, I want you to Now go over to chapter 9 at verse number 23 and 24. And I like this. I want you to notice, number one, the appearance of the fire. He told them the rule of the fire in chapter 6 and the burnt offering. But in chapter 9 and verse 23 and 24 is when the fire actually appeared. Amen. If you're there, say amen. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out before the Lord and consumed the altar, the burnt offering, and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their face. I'll tell you where this appearance came from. This fire it wasn't a manufactured fire. What we like to see in our church this year, and our teenagers this year, and in our families this year, and our couples this year, we ain't trying to manufacture a fire. We're not trying to manipulate a fire, but we sure are trying to pray down a fire and keep the fire burning. That's what we're trying to do. And I hope that fire starts with this 71-year-old man. Let's walk through the valley of the shadow this last year. But I sense something happening to him. He can even raise his knees. He can even move a little better. I want you to know whether I can move, whether I'm in a wheelchair, whether I have to sit down. I want the fire to fall. Tell you when it fell, listen to this. They shouted and they fell on their face. Come on. You said, well, I don't shout much. Yeah, I knew that. I shout when I preach. I shout when my buddy preaches, but I don't shout much. Well, you need to get some shout. If you ain't shouting on the outside, at least for God's sake, shout on the inside. Because it will show up on the outside. Amen. And notice they fell on their face. Now I want you to know something. These charismatics, you don't see them fall on their face. When they get to slay in the spirit, they fall on their back. If you ever get to real fire, you ain't gonna have some emotional somebody shock you with the floor shocker and get you falling back. You're gonna fall on your face. And you're going to worship God. And you're going to say, I want to get a hold of God. I want to see teenagers want to hold up. I want to see everybody in this room say, I want God in here stronger than he's ever been here. In my 44 years and starting 45, I want God to be in here greater this next year than ever. Amen. Amen. And they shouted. What was that shout about? It was about approval. Come on now. It's about approval. It was a shout of praise. What's happened to some of y'all? Where's your approval for God? Where's your shout of praise went? You said, preacher, I got problems. You don't know what I walked in church with. But ladies and gentlemen, I know who you serve. I remember a time when some of you used to praise him. I remember a time when some of you loved the witness and loved to get God on you. What's happened to you? What's happened to us? We got to have a shout of approval, a shout of praise, a shout of faith. We need to appreciate God again. I'm going to be honest with you. I go to a lot of churches and preach. They're dead as a hammer. They're dead at 4:00. You could hear a gnat burp in the church. You come in at 11:00 sharp and leave at 12:00 dull. Is that what you want? I want to tell y'all something in this church. I'm not interested in a church like that. I want to come into a lively, preaching, singing, a church that's got it going. Hey, by the way, I watch some of you. Here's what you do. Now, you know why you come to our church? You know we preach the Bible. And some of you, you like the liveliness. You just don't like to participate. Here you are. Let me look at me. Here's you. Are you looking? You ought to get up here and preach to you. And don't you blame it on the preacher. I'm not going to take the blame for you. You're the one that let the fire go out. You're the one that quit praying. You're the one that quit praying over your kids. You're the one that the excitement's gone. Ladies and gentlemen, we need the fire of God. Look at me like a dead log tonight. You ever seen that from behind this pulpit? Shame on us. Because some of the greatest preaching, teaching, singing, and people in the world, why don't we all participate? Here's the problem. About 30% participate. If that. I wonder what would happen if we got it to 60, maybe 80, maybe 100. You say, well, I've been hurt in church. You even hurt me once or twice. Well, come and tell me about it. We'll pray about it and get you over it. Sydney, quit telling me how hurt you are, how wounded you are. I tell you, the one was wounded. He was wounded for my transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And a chastisement of, or with his stripes we are healed. Ladies and gentlemen, how about participate? When's the last time that you really just got into a worship service? Amen. When's the last time? He said, but you don't know this summer. I've been hurt, and some of my family been hurt, and we feel like we've been looked over. I want you to know something. Ain't nobody looking over nobody. We love all of you. But what's happened is the devil's got up in your little brain and crawled up in your little alley and said, and I tell you what you've been playing. You're playing the victim. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not victims. We're victors. We're on the winning side. Yes, sir. Amen. 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 Since when are we losers? Just watch Facebook. You can see some of that pity party come out. Just watch it. Get up there and just moan. I may have a problem once in a while, but I won't guarantee you one thing, I ain't telling you about it. Hello. I may be fighting off a demon once in a while, but I want to praise his name. I want to fall on my face and shout the glory. And it ought to concern you. You don't have that fire anymore. That ought to concern. I tell you what, that's enough you ought to get to the altar on. And you know what'll happen when I get done preaching? 95% of you won't even come close to this altar. Amen. By the way, let me give you something, some Bible teaching here. Jewish custom says, and by the way, some of Jewish customs I hold to, some I don't. But I want y'all to hear this. This was heaven sent fire. Jewish custom says this, that when that fire came in Leviticus 9, 23 and 24, that fire did not go out for 800 years. It didn't go out until Nebuchadnezzar took them captive and they hung their harps on a willow tree. You say, are you telling me it did not go out? Ladies and gentlemen, even when they transitioned from the tabernacle to the temple, they took those hot coals that was in the tabernacle, put them over in the temple, and the fire continued to burn. Somebody help me preach. It moved from generation to generation. Joshua saw that fire. Gideon saw that fire. Samson saw that fire. Samuel saw that fire. David saw that fire. Solomon saw that fire. Rehoboam saw that fire. Hezekiah saw that fire. Josiah saw that fire. Jeremiah saw that fire. Isaiah saw that fire. I want you to know, and on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said that he came down in fire. And for 2,000 years, we're 2,000 years past Pentecost. And I still tell you, there's still some fire burning. There's still some churches that got it. And you're in one tonight. But I want you to know, if you don't watch out, your help put it out. Your help. Am I preaching? You used to be a priest like that to some of you couples. You'd shout this place down. You'd smile and say, go! Amen. By the way, Paul knew that fire. Timothy knew the fire. Titus threw the fire. How about D.L. Moody? He had the fire. Billy Sunday, he had the fire. And ladies and gentlemen, this old man tonight preaching to you on the verge of ending his 44 years, I still got the fire burning in my soul. See, I want my children to experience the fire. I want my grandchild to experience the fire. And my preacher. Number two, whew, glory. Now, I've been preaching hard, haven't I? The attendance of the fire. Hey, I want you to know they had to attend to this fire 24/7. Amen. By the way, I'd take a big pile of wood. Somebody help me preach. A 5x5 brazen altar. I'd take a pile of wood to burn it from daylight to the next day. That means it takes some time. That means it takes some labor. And they took the ashes. They had to have a continued cleansing. You want to know why I think some of you's lost the fire? Ain't no cleansing in you no more. You gossip. You say bad things. You're even bitter. I wonder how many people in this room, you can't hardly look at me because you're bitter tonight. You got anger. Do you think God's going to put some fire on that? I ain't trying to go negative, but God can't put no, hey, God can't use us if we're not clean. I want you to know some 24/7 fire. Kids, y'all know this. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to kind of teach you a lesson here. Nobody else paying attention to me, maybe y'all will. Okay. I'm kidding. Hey, that brazen altar, it wasn't inside. Here's what happened, Shayla. The wind blew on it. Wind can blow out a fire. It rained on it. Hello? And if somebody wasn't stoking it all the time, it'd just die. You say, what's your calling in life? I'm a stoker. You know what I'm trying to do tonight? Just get some of you in remembrance of when we used to be good with you. Before you fell off, and now church is this. Here's what church is. I hope it's 7 gets here pretty soon. I wish you'd get done. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to be over tonight. Okay, so. I wish you'd get down. I don't feel no excitement down Tate's Valley anymore. I think I'm going to go look up. Maybe I'll find me a contemporary church. Help me. Oh, they're supposed to love people down there. They wouldn't say boo at the devil if the devil was after them with a pitchfork.
Amen.
Am I preaching?
Yes, sir.
Am I all right, Mike? I'm preaching. I'm moving around pretty good anyway. The wind came. Water came. Had to work. Do you know there was one tribe that, Chad, if you studied, they were a little bit away from God. You know what they made them do? They become the hewers of wood. Whole tribes. Well, somebody had to cut down the wood to burn a fire for 40 years in the wood. Huh? By the way, I thank God for the people that burned the wood. Somebody help me preach. Hey, we need some young people that are stoked for fire. Hey, this school system's against you. Everything in the world's against you. The gender lines have been pushed down your throat. They're trying to tell you where to go to a bathroom. They're trying to dictate everything to you. But I want you to know your God's a God of fire, a God that's on the throne. I was doing a little reminiscing today. How many's ever reminisced? You do that when you get my age. I remember an old fella named Eugene Nall. How many remember him? How many can remember his three favorite words? Anybody? Nobody? Only me? Oh, somebody back there. What is it, Brian? Thank you, Brian. You were named after him. Bless the Lord! We've been in services where I thought was dry. And old Eugene, bless the Lord! Then we got people like Ray. I told you, you can't die until I'm out of here, okay? Shouts it out. I respect them men. You know what they were doing? They were yielding to the Holy Ghost and they wanted the fire. Y'all still with me? I'll close. Oh, by the way, one more thing. Anybody been by a fire this summer? Campfire, anybody? Brian, some of you. Now, how can you know that somebody's been by the fire? Huh? Say it. Same way you know if we're smoking a cigarette. You smell it. And by the way, you can see those in the church and smell those in the church that's been around the fire.
Absolutely.
You just smell it. I've been sniffing around some of you teenagers and y'all got more than good cologne on. You got some smoke coming out of you. You got some fire coming out of you. I can smell it. That's what we need.
Yes, sir.
We need some people that start smelling right again. You know what the devil wants? He wants Tate's Valley to never to cease to exist.
Well,
I ask you something. If it's up to you for it to exist, will it exist? That's kind of a good statement. I tell you, well, before the fire comes out off in the church or out of the church, it comes out in your family. You start sitting in the family. The family starts eroding. Lastly, the annihilation of the fire. Look at chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. I want to give you this. I'll try to just pass on through it. Whew. Am I preaching all right, Chad? And Nadab and Abihu, the son of Aaron, chapter 10, verse 1, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what I call a counterfeit fire. Somebody help me preach. Tonight I'm not talking about a contemporary fire, nor a Calvinistic fire. I've had a few Calvinists that's had to depart here, and you know what happened to them before they got very far into it? Their whole spirituality died. They used to preach in power, then they got subdued. Hello? And the charismatic fire. I'll tell y'all a story here. I saw this on YouTube, Chad. You probably can find it. One of the preacher brothers sent it to me, a video, and I don't know where I put it. Guy was preaching, look at me, preaching down in Charlotte. One of these contemporary guys. And he knew he had a guy in the church that had a King James Bible. And he brought that King James Bible up, turned over to John chapter 5 and verse number 6, where it says, "In our King James, and the angel troubled the water." And right before his congregation, he took that guy's Bible and took an ink pen and X'd out that verse and made this statement: "That's not in the Bible." You want to know why we ain't got no fire? If you ain't got no Bible, you ain't got no fire. How disgusting! I want you to know something. I ain't getting my fire from the Backstreet Boys. I ain't getting no fire from no American Idol guy. I'm getting my fire from God. See, I got that fire in me. He's called the Holy Ghost. I'm done. I know some of you are going, "Whew, thank God." Turn to Revelation chapter 2. And I'll finish. Please, everybody, turn. You might not be getting a lot out of the church because you ain't following in the Bible. I'm preaching Bible to you. Just look at it. Here's what he said to the church of Ephesus. After he told them all the good things he'd done, they said, Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly." Listen to this. And will what? Will what, church? In other words, I'm going to take your fire out. I'm going to remove your candlestick. I want y'all to know something. I don't know how many years John Smith has left, but I want you to guarantee you something, Colton. Every second, every minute I got, I'm going to stoke the fire. Amen. Here's what I don't want to see happen. 20 years from now, people drive by Tate Valley Baptist Church and say this: "I remember a day when they used to have the fire." I remember. Why do you think I'm investing so much time in our assistant pastor and our other staff pastors? It's because when this old man leaves, I want to know the fire's still burning. I'm going to pour myself in you. If you let the fire go out, I'll come out of the grave after you, boy.
Yes, sir.
Because, see, I need you. Keep the fire burning.
Yes, sir.
We need you to keep the fire burning. We need you to keep the fire burning. Young preachers, we need you to keep the fire burning. Lois, you've seen it. You've seen churches that used to have it, and now they're just a small fracture of what they used to do. Don't go soul winning. Don't try to reach people. They just want their little group. I'm going to ask you something. Well, can I ask you something serious? In your Christian life, do you have as much fire in your life today as you even had just say 5 years ago or four or three or two? Well, let me ask you, have you become a casualty? Saw about somebody, like I've been preaching tonight, somebody got hurt in your family or somebody got hurt and you're fractured. You can't get over the bitterness. I tell you what, as some of you, and you may not do it, and you're not, hey, by the way, you're not refusing me, you're refusing God. It had nothing to do with me tonight. But if you're saved like you are, say you are, you know if the fire's burning.
Amen.
And the shame of it, folks ought to have been shouting me down tonight. That's okay. I don't care if they did or not. Because that don't motivate me. But we've lost the fire. But some folks lose the fire. Some people I love very much ain't got no fire anymore. They're still saved. Ain't nothing like that. They just lost the fire. Lost the joy. Lost the thrill. Just go read their Facebook page. I'm trying to get over it. I just can't. You can't because you won't. You know what some of us need to do? Bring your bitterness up here. Bring your hurt up here. Bring your anguish up here. And do what they did in that scripture and fall on their face and shout glory. God, I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you more than I ever needed you. I want to influence my kids. I want to influence my grandkids. Lord, I need you.
Amen.
It's up to you if you want to come tonight. But if I was you, I felt like I have got the fire I used to have. I wouldn't care what anybody thinks. I'm coming up.
Amen.
Chad, you take over for me. Lois, you come and sing. And y'all all stand. Folks are coming. I'm not going to try to beat nobody to the altar. But I tell you what, I'm going to go up here and pray. Father, Lord, there's some here tonight.
Help
I could
us.
Just watch the reaction. Lord, it just seems so cold. God, I pray for them. They're wonderful people. God, we got a great church. But Lord, we don't want the fire to go out of anybody. And I pray tonight you touch. And I pray tonight somebody will come and get some help. And just cry out to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks are coming. You ought to make it.